Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky. Today we're going to talk about building your master services agreement. In part one, I discuss the purpose, broadly speaking, as to why you should have a master service agreement. And then we talked about the culture that you create with your customers with the use of the master services agreement, making sure that you're not just picking any sort of template, but tailoring an agreement that fits the relationship you're trying to create. It is true that there are certain terms that I want to see in every master services agreement, irrespective of the culture that you're trying to create. We want to address payment. We want to make sure that people are on the same page with respect to their payment obligations. Cybersecurity is such a huge component of today's MSP world that we have to really look at cybersecurity so as to understand between the parties as to how it's going to be handled. I like to make sure that the customer of the MSP is not walking away thinking that every incidence of a cybersecurity breach is going to be covered by the MSP. We simply can't contemplate how today's hackers are going to avail themselves of opportunities. So we want to make sure that that piece is always in. We also want to make sure that the customer obligations are set forth in all master service agreements, irrespective of how you want to compete. Confidentiality is a big piece of it in all agreements. Indemnification is a big piece in all agreements. A limitation of liability, where we're looking at, are we really willing to bet the entire relationship between the parties on every business opportunity that is before us? We also want to address term and how people terminate. Those are the common terms that we want to handle in all master services agreements. We also need to look at what is a court really likely to do. Just because something is in writing doesn't mean the court's not going to try to find a way around it, especially in today's ever-changing technology environment. It's really critical. I'm going to start with cybersecurity. It's really critical to address cybersecurity. It really is naive of us to think that if we don't address cybersecurity in the MSA, then we're not undertaking any sort of obligations. A court will likely not uphold that. And again, courts sometimes will ignore language in the contract that they think is just fundamentally unfair, and they'll use different legal doctrines to accomplish this. Now, you always have a right to appeal. That's a really, really expensive manner dealing with ambiguities. It's a lot easier just to have the ambiguity hashed out in advance. It's really far better for us to look at the cybersecurity efforts of the MSP that are going to be borne out in the MSA and have some sort of acknowledgement by the customer that the efforts are limited, that we can't guarantee that there will not actually be a breach. We can just guarantee that there will be great effort made towards that if we're undertaking that obligation. We should focus on the efforts to prevent the breach, while the cybersecurity issue should be included in the statement of work. It really also should be broadly addressed in the MSA. I say it should be included in the statement of work because I think with cybersecurity, you got to address it so that the court is less likely to ignore the agreements between the parties. Now turning to confidential information, there is certain to be access to confidential information during the course of your relationship. In fact, it's likely that each party will supply confidential information to each other. And this should be addressed in the MSA too. The length and breadth of addressing confidential information should vary based on the culture and relationship you're trying to create with your client. If it's a customer service oriented relationship, you certainly want to make sure that they understand that everything that they provide you access with is going to be confidential. On a high volume type of relationship, you may want to set forth the efforts by which you'll maintain the security of the information rather than guarantee that the information will remain secured. When we say efforts to ensure guarantee, we're talking about commercially reasonable efforts or best efforts or the lower reasonable effort standard. If you really want to have a low standard and make sure that you've complied with your obligations in this high volume relationship, you're likely to be looking at using reasonable care rather than commercially reasonable efforts or best efforts, or the alternative of absolute, where you're saying we're not going to just use efforts, we're guaranteeing that the information is going to be kept confidential. That means that if you have a wayward employee that takes off and wants to make your life miserable, including stealing, engaging in criminal behavior, stealing from your clients, you're actually going to be the guarantor of the damages associated with that breach. Indemnification is another term that we want to include in all master services agreement. It's a very difficult concept to understand, but essentially it means that one party is going to stand in the shoes of another party for the wrong that they've committed. So think of, let's say your customer has violated a license agreement with respect to software that they have implemented. Now, under the copyright laws, you are actually liable for your customer's transgression. And that's just the way copyright law works. So what you want to have is the ability to turn to the customer and say, I've been found liable for this stuff, and it's really your wrongdoing. You should pay instead of me. And actually, it should be you defend and you protect me and pay, even if a third party implicates the MSP in the relationship. And the contrary would be true as well. A limitation of liability provision really addresses the total exposure that an MSP is willing to engage in with any particular relationship. I think this is critical as well. And while it's tempting to limit liability to $1, those aggressive options will likely not be upheld by a court. They'll try to find some legal doctrine to work around that $1 limitation of liability. Additionally, you know, most of my clients actually use insurance coverage too. So you're already paying to have that insurance. A court will look at that and say, well, why would you pay to have insurance to cover this happening if you didn't want it to be used? So you for sure didn't want a $1 limitation of liability. You actually provided insurance greatly in excess of that. And then you got to ask yourself the business decision question. Do you really want to exclude your client who may have been totally harmed by your accident to not be able to recover on insurance that you're paying for? So I think it's far more reasonable to allow the customer to at least pursue the insurance that they've procured, that you've procured, and that you've paid for. I look at insurance as though, let's say you were in a car accident, and if you were in a car accident, somebody got hurt really bad, and it truly was something that you did wrong and accidentally, wouldn't you want your insurance to pay for it? Yeah, you certainly aren't invested in seeing the other person harmed and not receive any compensation for it, especially if you've been paying for it. Well, the same is true when it comes to the MSP who buys commercial liability insurance. We also want to deal with warranties in the master services agreement. We may want to disclaim certain warranties. We may want to pass through other warranties. We may want to address the promotional literature that accompanies our negotiations and our initial relationship with the prospective customer. Every contract is assignable under common law unless the contract says that it's not assignable. But I actually like to have assignment addressed in the master services agreement, because what we don't want to have happen is for us to sell our interest to a third party and have a customer oppose it, even though there's not a contractual basis for opposing it, or that they couldn't stop the assignment. We still want them to be a happy customer. So right out of the gate, we want to be able to say, hey, if we sell our business, this contract goes with it. You have to deal with term as well, where you're defining how long the relationship is. The longer the relationship, the more value you have in your business. If you have a month-to-month relationship in your MSA, the buyer is not going to value that with any amount of significance. Although if you have a 3-year term, that is something that creates a lot of value for your company. We also want to deal with termination, and termination deals with how the relationship ends, how we treat each other in the end of the relationship, what we do in the event of a breach. For instance, if the customer fails to pay, how will we handle their information? How will we handle their backups? How will we handle their monitoring? And we want to address all that stuff at the outset so that they know, hey, if you don't pay, this is what's going to happen. There are also some terms that I think should be covered, ought to be covered, but probably aren't quite as essential. These terms include the the type of payment, how we're going to receive payment. Non-solicitation or non-hiring of our employees, coupled with perhaps a liquidated damages provision so that if they do hire our employees, we actually get paid the equivalent of a recruiter's fee or a training fee for bringing them to the table. I like to have the MSP consider a limitation of remedy where the customer actually agrees in the beginning, in the event of a breach, we're going to let you know that there's a breach. And once you have an opportunity, MSP, to remedy this, then we can go to a third party to kind of cover. So this gives us the ability to say, we get first crack as the MSP to fix the mistake that you think we've made. Venue selection is a term that deals with where disputes will be handled. I'd like to have that in MSAs. While it's not necessary to have a term dealing with waiver, I like to have waiver addressed in the MSA so that silence by our MSP is not construed as a waiver. If we say that upon your failure to pay, we're going to do certain things with regard to monitoring and backups and whatnot, if we release ourselves from those obligations at some point later beyond what we're contractually able to do, so for instance, if we say we have to cover for 10 days and then after that we can take off, if we go 20 days, we don't want that to be construed as a waiver such that the customer can come back and say, wait a minute, you were supposed to leave in 10 days if we failed to pay, but you didn't, so we just figured you waived that term and we're going forward with it. We don't want to have to confront that issue. So we include language that allows us to engage in that type of conduct without waiving our rights. There are other terms to consider as well, a force majeure clause, which deals with the acts of God type of scenarios. Unpredictable circumstances are being dealt with there. Language regarding notices to and from each other. Payment of taxes. Sometimes we deal with independent contractor status, especially if we're going to have people on site for any duration. The insurance requirements sometimes gets addressed as well. What happens if one clause is deemed unenforceable? What happens to the rest of the contract? That's a severability provision that we like to address as well. And there may be other terms to consider. Again, it is a tailored, there are so many alternatives you can see. It is a tailored solution based upon the relationship that you're trying to create with your customer. So there is not a good off-the-shelf solution where one size fits all MSPs. And I encourage you to speak with a competent attorney, one that is familiar with the federal law requirements surrounding MSPs, and one that is familiar with the unique economic model that MSPs operate in, this subscription-based model rather than a time and material type of engagement. Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs, and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, D like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S, like United States, L-A-W.com.